Okay. This is the time and the place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider hearing order number R1-2010-0019 in the matter of Sonoma West Holdings Industrial Wastewater Treatment Facility. This item has been properly noticed. A sheet explaining the procedures for this hearing is available at the handout table. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand and raise your right hand and take the following oath? You swear or affirm to tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Thank you. We'll start with the staff presentation. Mr. Grady.
Good morning, Board Chair and members of the board. I'm Kason Grady, staff to the board, here to present item number 6, order number R1-2010-0019 for Sonoma West Holdings. They are an industrial wastewater processing facility, and they also have a domestic portion as well. So there's two processes. They are located in Sebastopol on the north side, corner of 116 and Occidental Road. The industrial process is primarily a land overflow discharge with tailwater return to a large treatment pond, and they have an MPDS discharge to Barlow Creek that they haven't used since 2000. The history of the facility, it used to be an old apple processor since the 70s, and now have converted to various wineries and other facilities on site. And they do overland flow to 7 benches, and the domestic portion is bermed off from the other benches. So that's a little process overview. There are 11 wineries, 7 storage units, 6 food beverage processors, 2 cell towers, and 1 transportation business. They are currently well under their permitted flows. For example, the industrial process has a daily max permitted flow of 368,000 gallons per day, with a monthly average of 173,000 gallons. And for the industrial process, instead of a max of 368,000 permitted, they are at 48,000, well below the max permitted flows. For the domestic as well, the monthly average permitted flow is 2,720 gallons per day, and the domestic average is at 1,300 gallons per day. So they are well below that. So with that overview, I will go over some chronology here. Staff have worked thoroughly with the discharger to address their initial comments that they submitted during the comment period. Then there were some late comments submitted to me after the comment period that we have further worked with the discharger to address all of their concerns where appropriate. I feel strongly that it has made it a stronger permit. So I will go over you've had a chance to look at the comments and our response to comments. I will now go over our response to the late comments just very quickly.
Mr. Chairman, I think just to make it clear, we ought to, within your discretion, admit the late comments and then have a response to them.
I appreciate that.
Tidying things up.
Sure. No, that's great. We've had the changes from what Mr. Corbett says. Let's just go forward and you can summarize that way.
Okay. So I will request that the late comments be admitted into the record.
We're accepting them.
Okay. So the first late comment, is comment number 13. The numbering system references the original comment numbers. And the discharger requested that the stormwater monitoring, that there be a stipulation in there that it only be required when there's been a discharge after the last storm event.
And then, Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to make your life easier, believe it or not, but I promise when a lawyer does that, you're probably not appreciative. In the staff response, I'm trying to tie that to the errata sheet, and there are two issues. If you go on pages 2, you go changes to the draft order. On the section you are, it doesn't say whether the draft order was changed, and is the reference to changes in the draft order reference to the errata sheet. It appears a lot of them are. Like, for example, the Title 23 being tied into the basin plan, it was a change in the errata sheet. Are these the same? When you amended the draft order, is that to the draft errata sheet? Are they contained there?
When you're referring to the errata, you're referring to the EOSR?
There was an errata sheet that we had that had proposed changes. And I'm just trying to tie it together, whether if we adopt the errata sheet, have we covered your responses or not? That's what I'm trying to get at.
I see. Logistical question. Yes, I believe so.
Okay. And so on some of them where you said amended draft order, that's reference to the errata sheet. And the other ones where you didn't say to the amended order, it's also the errata sheet, even though it doesn't say that.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. With that clarification, I can understand then how to relate your comments.
Apologize for the confusion. So with that, I will continue summarizing the comments. The first comment is a request to add a stipulation about the frequency of stormwater monitoring. We thought this was appropriate, so and we made that change to the permit. The second comment, 8A, requests a reduction in the monitoring frequency for Title 22 chemicals, which is a broad suite of chemicals that is associated with a large cost. And it was a tri-annual requirement previously. We've changed it to once every 5 years. There is no difference in the implementation of that, and so we willingly made that change. Every permit cycle is once every 5 years. The triannual permit requirement could have been performed in such a way that there's no difference the way it's worded now. So we accepted that comment.
Hey, Kaysen?
Yes.
Just let me kind of work off of the lead by Mr. Corbett here. For each of the comments that you're working your way through, this is in similar fashion to the set of comments that you've been working with the discharger for up until this particular point in time.
Yes.
So everything that we've got here, you're satisfied with and the discharger's satisfied with, and we're ready to move forward with it.
Okay. Well, then,
that's where we are, correct?
Okay. Correct.
Yeah, great. Wonderful. So,
I'm just going through these to clarify that for you, if you don't need me to, because the discharger is in agreement with staff. I don't need to continue to go through the comments.
I don't have any particulars that I...
Well, I think for the public, it might be wise to go through the changes. I don't expect any comments, but then we have a really clear record that all changes were available to the public in consideration of the board.
So. Okay. So the third comment, now there's about 9 late comments in this sheet. So this is, we're at 3 of 9. Had to do with compliance with the groundwater receiving water limitation. The discharger requested the removal of statistically significant. The groundwater limitation prohibited a statistically significant degradation of groundwater quality. We did not accept this comment. We clarified why that this is common standard language in all of our permits to implement the basin plan. And we clarified that to the discharger, and So we made no changes according to this comment in the permit, and I'll move on. The next comment, four, has two parts, one referencing an infeasibility study, which is a standalone document in the record that is requires monitoring of groundwater for salt and nutrients, and there's no need for a reference in this permit because we require it outside of this. The other part of this comment is a removal of a sentence to ensure consistency with the rest of the permit, so that's a minor change. Comment 8B, similarly, was a consistency comment. We left a reference to a groundwater monitoring well in the permit because it is a groundwater monitoring well on site that could be monitored. We did remove it from the monitoring and the monitoring and reporting program because it is an alternative drinking water well that there's no need for active monitoring of. But we left it in the permit in case it needs to be used in the future. Comment number nine is a minor language change about the scope of Title 22 pollutants that's referenced in a footnote in the monitoring reporting program where we define what constituents we're requiring the discharger to monitor for compliance with the basin plan. It was a minor change that we accepted. Comment number 12 is, once again, a consistency comment where I had gone through the entire permit and express the dates required for seasonal groundwater monitoring for March and August. There was still one lingering reference to April and September, so I removed that. The next comments are typographical errors, and both are typographical errors, so we fixed those. And so we did consider, for those reasons, that they were all minor changes that we could work through with the discharger to come to agreement. I believe the discharger's here, if he has any comments.
Great.
And I'm here for questions if you are concerned.
Board member questions? Okay, great, thank you. And so is the discharger here? Like to make any, nothing to say? Okay. Great, and I don't have any speaker cards on the matter. Jason.
There was one last change that was not a response to comments, but staff noticed that there was a change in the effective date or the expiration date of the permit. I had put that it would expire 5 years after the adoption date, when really it needed to be 5 years after the effective date. So we fixed that. That was one other change to the permit.
Great. Thank you. Okay. No other comments? Board members?
Go.
I don't have a comment. I'm prepared to make a motion.
Me too.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
Gentlemen?
Mr. Chair, I'd give you a motion to adopt order number R12100019 with the late submissions, which have been allowed.
And can I just refine that a little bit? The adoption as amended by staff and specifically reference to the RADS.
Great. Thank you. And that was your second?
Yes.
Great. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. 10 o'clock? Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll move on to our information items.